hacker behind the Optus data raid remains at large, and law enforcement agencies around the country and the world are trying to find those responsible. Shane Bell is a cybersecurity and digital forensic expert and our guest this morning. Thank you so much for your time, Shane.
Hi, Patricia. How are you?
Good. Now, this cyber thief has apparently revoked the $1.5 million extortion threat and now claims to have deleted the data. Do you believe that?
No, I don't. I think you approach that with a healthy level of skepticism. I think the removal of the data is probably unlikely, but I think that'll play out perhaps further over the next few days.
The hacker claimed they'd released the personal records of 10,000 customers yesterday. Did that actually end up happening?
My understanding is that that did occur, Patricia. So I think that those records were made available for a short period of time until the back down. So I understand that those records were available for people to be able to download off the forum.
Is there any way of verifying whether the data was deleted like the hacker claims? I know you're saying you're sceptical about that, but is there a way of verifying that?
There isn't, based on the sort of the publicly available information. I think we sort of at the whim of the hacker there and have to either trust them or not trust them. There's no technical way that we can verify that that's occurred based on the information that's available via the internet or via the forum, unfortunately.
What do we know about the person or potentially, you know, more than one person, people involved in the hack? There's an account called Optus Data that appears to be involved, but so far no official confirmation. What's your view?
Well, I think it's interesting. So Optus Data is obviously an alias. The alias is used to sign into this forum that they've been making these posts. Some of the intelligence that I've seen suggests that alias, Optus Data, has been verified by the administrators or by people that are responsible for the running of that forum. And so that suggests to me that it's at least a legitimate handle or an alias, and that the claims that they'd made were verified, at least in that forum setting, to be able to say the things that they said.
Do you think Optus or an intermediary would be talking to and negotiating with Optus Data or whoever is behind the attack?
I think that's a really interesting question, Patricia, because in my experience, and I'm not aware of this particular process that Optus are going through now, but in my experience working on a lot of extortion and ransomware matters, negotiation is often a key part of that process, because it can provide you with some valuable intelligence and confirmation of some of the accusations or claims that are being made by the threat actor. And so I think there's potential that dialogue will have attempted to have been opened with the threat actor, the people behind Optus Data, in this instance, because I see that happens quite a lot when an organisation's confronted with these extortion and ransom attempts.
Now, you don't negotiate ransoms, but you've supported those who do by providing technical information. Why is conversing with criminals important? What can it reveal?
Well, often you're presented with a claim that on face value is unsubstantiated. So, I mean, when the Optus Data claim landed on the forum, it said that, you know, there was data for, you know, 10 or 11 million Australians that had been compromised from a telco, an Australian telco. And I think the negotiation process, or at least the interaction process, allows you to attempt to verify some of those claims. You know, what data do you have, and what were the means by which you came into contact with that data? All of that process, that negotiation process, can be helpful in quantifying or substantiating the claims that have been made by somebody that purports to have broken into a system and stolen some data.
Security researcher Jeremy Kirk spoke with us on Monday, and he says yesterday Optus confirmed to him it hadn't paid a ransom to the person who stole customer records. Can we be confident of that?
I think at the moment, if that's what's been said to Jerry, I mean, I saw that as well, then I think that you'd have to trust that until there's information to suggest otherwise. I think the negotiation process doesn't always result in the payment of a ransom. As I said, that negotiation process can be helpful in providing you with information and intelligence through the investigation phase. So I think we can believe that until further information becomes available would be my view.
What do you make of what we know of this hacker so far? I mean, one of the people who listens to this show has texted in to say, Patricia, the hacker is weird. $1 million seems a remarkably small ransom amount considering the potential data value. And I've got to say that was my instinct too. Like, what's this all about? Is this amateur hour or are we being sort of duped in some way? What's your analysis?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting angle to this. It does feel a little like amateur hour, to be honest with you, in my experience. I mean, the threat actor groups that are responsible for some of the larger extortion and ransom attempts tend to be fairly sophisticated in their negotiations. And this one seems to have played out a little differently to that. Now, I'm not sure if that's because there's quite a lot of public scrutiny on this. It's become very public very quickly, and I'm not convinced that the threat actor groups that are behind these things necessarily like it to play out so publicly. But it does seem that you know, a nice round number of $1 million is something that is a little trigger there. The change of the timeline, and all of a sudden saying there's too many eyes watching. And I've deleted the data, and that there's nothing to see here. That's something that's a little quirky with this timeline as well, which may suggest that it's someone less sophisticated, or it could be that we're just watching a script play out that they've planned. I mean, that's an option as well, but I think maybe less likely.
Yeah, yeah. We don't know yet, do we? What should customers that have been impacted by the breach be doing? Like, for instance, if hackers have leaked phone numbers, should people now be worried about two-factor authentication, that sort of thing?
I think it's about vigilance, and I can certainly appreciate the impact and the severity this will have on people who've been contacted by Optus who are worried about their data. I think it's about vigilance. I mean, scams within Australia and indeed globally are very, very common. I think, you know, this concept of social engineering, receiving phone calls and people trying to glean information about you that they otherwise don't know so that they can use it in fraud scams, et cetera, has been around for a long time. I would encourage Optus customers to stay very vigilant, question unsolicited phone calls, text messages, emails and queries where people purport to know a little bit of information about them but are looking to confirm that information. You know, that's very abnormal contact, I think, in most customer service realms these days, and just have that heightened level of awareness. You also mentioned multi-factor authentication. I mean, I'm a huge advocate for multi-factor authentication on accounts that people have that protect some of their more valuable information anyway. And I'd certainly encourage people to be looking at how they might be able to establish that on their accounts if they don't already have it.
Shane Bell, many thanks for joining us this morning.
No problems, Patricia. Thank you.
Cybersecurity and digital forensic expert at McGrath-Nicol, Shane Bell.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.